Welcome to the 12 Concepts Workshop. My name is Congress and I'm an addict.
Congress.
And before we begin this workshop, I'm going to ask Dennis to read Vision of Service for you.
Addict in recovery, my name is Dennis.
Dennis.
A vision for NA service. All the efforts of Narcotics Anonymous are inspired by the primary purpose of our groups. Upon this common ground, we stand committed. Our vision is that one day, every addict in the world has the chance to experience our message in his or her own language and culture and find the opportunity for a new way of life. Every member inspired by the gift of recovery experiences spiritual growth and fulfillment through service. NA service bodies worldwide work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to support the groups in carrying our message of recovery. Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. Honesty, trust, and goodwill are the foundation of our service efforts, all of which will rely upon the guidance of a loving higher power.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you
for being here. And again, this workshop is going to be centered on the 12 concepts of NA service. And the 12 concepts are the guiding principles for our service structure. The service structure is alluded to in a couple of different places, if you notice, in our traditions. First of all, we have our fifth tradition, which says our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. We also have an eighth and ninth tradition, which talk about the idea that we can form, the ninth tradition talks about the idea that we can form service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And the eighth tradition talks about this fellowship being non-professional, but can have folks special workers perform tasks for the service structure in particular. So with that in mind, when you think about when we get here to Narcotics Anonymous, the first thing that's pushed at us is what?
Service.
Service, right? That's what we hear everybody, be a service. Well, how many people, I just want to see a show of hands, when you got here to Narcotics Anonymous, even knew we had 12 concepts? Exactly. And that's my point. It's been so in our groups today, there's a lot of them that if you don't get there at the right time of the week, you won't even hear traditions, let alone concepts. So my home group at the time, we decided to put together a preamble of the concepts that we would read at the beginning along with the other preambles so that folks get an idea of exactly what those concepts are and what they do and why they exist. They all are kind of interrelated when you think of it. The principles of the 12 steps help us get comfortable with ourselves and transition from me to a we environment. Then the traditions start making more sense when you pick up from there, because now it's all about being selfless with the traditions, because I am taken away from the equation. It's about what's good for the group. The concepts take that principle one step farther. Now it's about being of service to the fellowship. It's generally what the governing principles are with the concept of service, like the first one. To fulfill our fellowship's primary purpose, the NA groups have joined together to create a structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains services on behalf of NA as a whole. And I don't want to keep this workshop in just my experience. What I'd like it to be is participation. As you notice right there, the first part of that is to fulfill our fellowship's primary purpose. So there we are, the reference directly to the fifth tradition, because that's why we exist. The reason why the 12 concepts are there in the first place is to help promote our primary purpose. Well, why would we do that? Why would you think we would do that? Why would we form a service structure to take care of those particular needs of the fellowship? Anybody?
Yeah. More effective than the groups working alone.
What happens if the groups get concerned with being involved with service?
It leaves the groups open to perform the miracles that need to happen. A service structure takes care of all the other businesses.
The most fundamental purpose that groups have is to carry the message. That's what we're here to do. So having a service structure to do the other things leaves the groups free to do what we do best, and that is provide the message to, provide the message to the attitudes of sufferers.
Exactly.
That's what we need to do. But it says that structure has a responsibility to develop, coordinate, and maintain services on behalf of NA as a whole. How does that usually start for when you're, if groups are starting to form in a new area, groups come up, what are the next kind of things that come up, services that need to be provided? What things do we do? H&I is one of them.
Public information.
Public information is another. Phone lines, sure. There has to be manpower to do those kinds of things and resources. How do we develop those things? And I brought along some visuals today so you can get a kind of to look at them, because some things that I've kind of put together over the years to help with those things, because we've documented a lot of this stuff already in our fellowship. Guide to Local Services and Narcotics Anonymous, right? We have that literature already. Some things we can use to start fabricating guidelines, etc., for how our service groups will function, how to formulate them, what things they can do and can cannot do. I heard H&I mentioned. We have this piece. The handbook. Have people who do H&I ever seen this before?
Yeah.
We already have that. We have a lot of literature, wealth of knowledge here already in Narcotics Anonymous. Public information. Handbook for that too, and how to do it. And for those who are interested in doing world service, I've got that covered too. So there's a wealth of information in Narcotics Anonymous, and these are all things that just go to NAS, right? Any and all of those are available to purchase online. And right, and there's this one, 12 concepts. We can actually workbooks. Actually, it's a mini workbook as well as a booklet. Not only outlines the concepts, but some exercises we can do to get more familiar with them. Responsibility, though, still remains with the groups and how that's done. And we delegate to the groups that authority that they need to do that in the second concept. The final responsibility and authority for NA services rests with the NA groups. Well, how does that work from a practical standpoint? If we assign a task to a service board or committee, I see it, the example that I think of right away is like the men's breakfast, for example. There's a group that's associated with. In order to make that happen, the group says, we'll provide the resources and those kinds of things for this thing to happen. But the group shouldn't just step away from it at that point. The group still is responsible to be informed along every step of the way during that process. That they at least have some liaison back and forth with committee that's putting on the event or what have you. Why is that important? Accountability? Absolutely. Why else?
Oh, build possible structures within fellowship.
Absolutely. What would happen if we started developing things to do for, you know, groups gets an idea, well, let's do this. But don't we also have a responsibility to not only provide the resources for those things, but there's the intellectual power to do those things, right? The time to do that, the labor that it's going to take, the people who are actually going to do those things, all those things, to have an accountability back to the groups to make that happen, right? Because we may have all the resources in the world to do something, but if we don't have the people to do it, the results are likely to be disastrous. So we need some sort of accountability during that process. Tied into that, and I heard about delegation. The NA groups delegate to the service structure the authority necessary to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to it. Why would that be?
But we don't micromanage them.
Absolutely. If we trust our servants enough to do the job, then we should give them leeway to do that as they see fit to do. It doesn't make sense to micromanage things because it would get awful frustrating. There's nothing worse as far as a creative thing goes to be given a job and then told how to do it. It just kind of loses the focus of why you'd want to do that thing in the first place. Anybody have any experiences with how that happened and it didn't work, that they did get micromanaged, or you had that where you're given a job and you didn't have the resources you needed to do what you needed to do?
Justice Addict from SoCal. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to currently rebuild a public relations committee in my area. And I went there to be of service, come to find out they didn't even have a committee anymore. When I did, and started offering all these ideas, and they basically asked me if I wanted to be chair and just handle it. And I was blown away because though I have some experience, the resources I need were the servants. And the hardest thing in my time here in the the biggest thing I see drop is servants. Only servants. You know, I've got all the predecessors and mentors I could use for anything and everything. But even at the lowest level, at the highest level of the GSR, it simply just turns into a freaking activities report instead of a thorough report of what's going around.
We're going to talk about that some more when we get to probably the seventh and eighth concepts, too. Yes?
I'm an addict. My name is Wesley from Phoenix. So, like, on a real, like, on a home group level, something real simple that I see is when there's people assigned to chair the meeting. And then, so you'll have three or four of the people that have been assigned to chair the meeting, and one person's chairing them, and then the three or four other people are trying to help them chair the meeting while they're chairing the meeting. So that really takes away from the ability to carry the message effectively.
Trust the servant to do the job assigned to them. Absolutely. In our fourth concept, which is, again, piggybacks one more time off the first three, when looking at that, when you assign someone a task, effective leaders... Leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership quality should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. And we as a fellowship are guilty of this more often than not. And I just see this happening a lot, especially at the group level. Let there be a position that's open. Typically, GSR, right? Who gets saddled to do that more often than not?
We'll wait those clean times for you.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Out
the...
Exactly. And worse, what happens is that person generally, okay, you're voted in, and boom, they leave you alone.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So many times I see that happen. It's like, but that's why we should always consider the qualities of the folks that we're asking to be trusted servants. Now, there's nothing, in my opinion, that beats want to. You know, the desire to do the job will compensate for a lot of things that folks don't have. But especially in that situation, the groups also have a responsibility, and we do, to support the individuals who we select as our trusted servants. It's great if they bring a lot of those qualities on their own. That's awesome. It's something to think about. As I think all the time, I've seen that happen many times. It's usually two people maybe down to qualifying themselves for a particular position. One might be incredibly qualified to do it, been around for a while. The other person's new, right? And they say, well, so-and-so needs a service commitment. But it's the good of the group, again, our common welfare, that should always come first. So we got to think about that first. Who's going to serve this group best? Maybe that other person might be suited to be the GSR alternate with the tutelage of this person who's more senior. That might be a better alternative. That way you accomplish both goals. But a lot of times, it's just things are, well, it's a quick vote and there you go. And we just plug someone in. So it's necessary to look at the qualifications of the folks that we have as our trusted servants. The fifth concept states for each responsibility assigned to the service structure, a single point of decision and accountability should be clearly defined. And if you think about that one for a minute, that would have alleviated in so many service situations, things that turn into absolute nightmares. Could have been alleviated by doing this. If we have a single point of accountability for each task, and that can be a group sometimes, maybe it's more effective than having a standing committee for some task. Maybe it's smarter in some cases to have an ad hoc committee that's defined to exist just for this task. And when that task is taken care of, that group disbands. As you know, our service structure is evolving. It's going to have to. And thank God it's about time. Especially in, I can think of in this region alone, my God, how many area ASCs do we have? There's got to be 10 of them. But if you look at any of those ASCs, none of them are fully staffed. And why do we continue to reproduce the same services over and over again? And it doesn't make sense. You're going to have, does it make sense to have 10 H&I committees in this region? Does it make sense to have 10 PI? Does it make sense to have 10 of anything, any of our service committees in this region? It doesn't make sense. Why duplicate the effort? Something we need to think about. If we narrow that down, we could identify just single points of contact or groups or service boards to take care of each thing. They leave the group free to how they want to sign the delegate the authority to it and left to the group. But that way you have a trail of accountability for each task we do.
So what you're saying is if there's 10 committees with 10 H&I committees, maybe make it 5 H&I committees and then just expand those committees' reach, or let them cover the slack.
Or I'm thinking make it even simpler. Maybe just one. You just have one.
Have them cover all of it.
Absolutely. Why? Then you can pull all the resources.
So Mark, I forgot about you'd have to have the permission of each area service committee, wouldn't you? You'd have to change it because some of them, like in my area, we got the West End and Santa Clarita right next to us. They have their own H&I committee.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we can't decide for them. So you're gonna have to drop your committee and let bring in with us.
I think it'd go up to region. It'd be more on a regional.
It could be decided. It depends on, some things might work better geographically for different areas, but for here, it certainly doesn't make sense. Yes?
Yeah, I'm from Las Vegas. Our region has the H&I, it's under region.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to worry about that at all. And it makes a lot of sense because the other areas and so on, so there's two regions, so you can get all the information you need. Yeah, you're right.
Ten
H&I, I'm surprised
to
get everything done.
Yeah.
That's
all. I mean, as far as service, for providing service, like you said, areas don't have all the people they need for the staff. And I'm the area chair, and I'm still having problems getting a vice president.
Sure.
It's all awful difficult. And you're going back a little bit on DSRs. DSRs are hard to get.
Yeah.
You're looking for supposedly qualities and so on. You're just waiting, looking for somebody to raise their hand to get more body.
Yeah.
That's all I got out of. So in NorCal region, there's a few areas that use a shared services model.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, in the East Bay, the East San Francisco Bay, for those of you who aren't familiar with the area. So there's three areas, the East Bay Central, East Bay North, and Michigan, and they have the Alameda County Tri-Area. So they're each their own area, but they have a shared flex line, they have a shared phone line, shared meeting schedule, shared PR and H&I services, and there's one representative when someone actually goes to the regional PR and H&I forum, for example, there's one representative from those areas combined. And also in the Staff Fellowship and American River, when they split, when American River and Staff Fellowship split, they adopted a form of shared services so that addicts wouldn't get confused not knowing which area their meeting they were looking for was going to be in. And so they have a shared service format with their meeting schedules and that kind of stuff. So there's ways to cooperate within your geographical locale, because addicts coming in, they're like, they don't know what area. Like, I know I have visited the Southern California, some part of the state, and like, I don't know what region I'm in, I don't know what area I'm in. Any meeting locator tool is not a good thing. And I don't freaking know what region I'm in half the time, let alone which area I'm in. I don't know if I'm in the West End area. I don't know if I'm in, so it's like I can't figure out how to find a meeting close to me, and it's frustrating. And so like adopting a model that allows criminals to know where to send people and allows addicts who are like probably because I was getting clean to be able to locate. It's not just about like spreading the trust and service, but also having the ability for addicts to find that.
Ruben, Dan,
I'm an addict named Ruben. One of the things I find challenging about the single point of accountability is, unfortunately, we have a lot of subcommittees who are operating without a chair, without anyone representing at either the area or the region. Thank God the committees are still doing the work and the service that needs to be provided, but the lack of communication with the rest of the fellowship isn't there. When we get into communication, it goes along with accountability.
Absolutely.
Point of accountability.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Piggybacking off of what she was saying, those are all valid points. When my previous area, I was the only sole surviving PI member. I was basically the last thing I could do was to make sure everybody could get to a meeting. Was I would drop off updated meeting directories to both drug courts at our local courthouses and to the parole and probation office. So anybody just leaving had no excuse not to find a meeting, no matter what area they were in, because I had two different directories. In our
city, West End and regular, and then we also had three meeting directors for surrounding, Santa Clarita, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the least I could do, was make sure nobody was confused, whether it be the phone, website, like there's no, pardon my language, but there's no bullshit excuse here.
Right.
You've got a stack of meeting directories. Where are you going? This is where you find your meeting.
Right.
And so I've taken that, really not having anybody in the new area I'm trying to rebuild, and I'm going to start implementing what we learned in Sacramento with task force based. So it's so hard for me to get these 15 willing members to come to a PI meeting once a month. I tell you what, come once for 20 minutes and I'll train you on this or I'll train you on that. And then when the shit comes up, boom, we hit it. And then you're done. You don't have to, don't worry about anything else. Just show up for your 3 hours and then you can go. You don't have to come to another meeting. Oh, really? Really? They get so excited. I don't have to come to that meeting. If you don't, just show up, be a service for 3 hours and leave.
Yeah. Maybe something task-driven as opposed to structure-driven might work in that case. You know what I mean? Something like that. So different ways to achieve the same end.
I got one more question just to kind of wrap up what we were talking about. And Robert, by the way, I love what Natalia was saying about having a tri-area, because I think that when you have one representative of H&I going up to the regional level, I think it would provide more consistency throughout how we're carrying the message in our different areas. My question is this, because we're talking about wanting to spread our manpower out. What is the difference between having three different H&I committees where you have all the 30 people covering 30 facilities, or you have one committee where you have the same people covering the same facilities, except that chairperson of that committee has more to oversee? Why would it be beneficial to consolidate?
Because again, yeah, you're not duplicating efforts in different places. It's still, the task is still the same. It's just how you choose to distribute those, the resources that you have to do that task.
But it's still the same amount of...
Because it's only three chairs, three vice chairs,
exactly.
Three secretaries,
exactly.
Three treasurers, three literature
So you can fill all
so
the
you
panel.
Those, yes.
Okay.
All those people who are duplicating the administrative process of each H&I committee could then go to facilities.
Goes or back to making it easier.
Secretary.
It's much easier to have a single point of contact with that kind of structure.
Okay. I made it on the ads, and I'm in California as well, and on the H&I issue was that my local area would, we know with building positions for our local area, and they were duplicating services for flights behind the walls. They, even though there were other areas that were doing sponsorship behind the walls, and you know, offer to come and explain it to us and help us to understand that, and we could get on board with them. They continued to try to get their own mailbox, spend money and resources and things to do their own locally. And I also am a professional and work in a facility and the liaison for this large government facility. And it has created, unfortunately, a horrible situation for these people that are in these facilities who are trying to get sponsorship behind the walls. It's just creating more and more a lag and a problem for our members that we're trying to support. So again, it's not just the service aspect, it's the people we're trying to reach.
Real quick, added justice, I think a con I add instead of a pro to the whole combining certain areas is, for instance, San Fernando Valley is part of the SoCal region, and they are on point with H&I. They have a lot, they cover a lot of stuff. So what I'm saying is, if you've got certain areas that are within a region that, for the sake of conversation, aren't broken, there's so much stuff going on. If you were trying to bring all together under one little board, you know, I mean, you're looking at like a 3 or 4 hour freaking business meeting. And that's just, there are a lot of areas. Like the area I'm in now, Savannah, oh my gosh. Right? But where I was, SFB, they're on point with certain stuff. And I would think it would be more drawn out headache to bring together than it would to just leave alone to do their job that they're already kicking ass in. So I think it's the areas need to be responsible for themselves and hold accountability. Like, yeah, we're really struggling. We're really struggling. We're really struggling.
Yeah.
Let's move together.
Sure. And the idea being that there would be one person who'd be accountable for each, if that's the way the areas want to do it. One person within each area that's a single point of contact for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm broke, don't fix it, but it's what you said.
Right.
If you have three areas that are missing PRs and secretaries,
right.
why not all come together and we can make this work. We can be in one effective area as opposed to three broken areas.
Guy, San Fernando Valley, SoCal. Southern California is a vast, sprawling area, the Southern California region, with over 20, the region is vast, with over 20 areas inside that. Mm-hmm. So that makes, that creates a lot of difficulty. Like Tomas was saying, you know, when we have other areas that are right there, right next to each other, we have other areas in other counties that are also right next to us because we reach, you know, because of our county line. And that just makes it very, very difficult. When we got onto sponsorship behind the walls in the Southern California, in the region, and then immediately thereafter, the San Fernando Valley area, we had other areas ask us, you know, for our help in how we formed it. Mm-hmm. We formed it basically from the regional guidelines, which formed it from the Central California model, you know, which was the first. And we have a couple of other bordering areas that are constantly wanting to say, we want to do that, but we don't want to, but we want to, can we combine it? Yes, well, we need to change it to our area. We have a couple of strange little ego-driven areas. We actually do.
How dare that happen?
We're helping you.
I think this question, even I was at the one of the workshops yesterday, keeps coming up, and it's an issue even, you know, in the world, in our United States, and politically and stuff right now. Like, is it better to make things smaller or bigger? So I know in the area that I'm in right now, they are wanting to split off, saying our area is too big. Our area is too big, we can't do business. So Solano is one, throwing them under the bus right now. Sorry. Anyway, so they're saying Vallejo wants is proposing to be their own area, or Napa is over on the other side of the hills, so they should have, the valley should be their own section, and Solano should be different than Napa, and, you know, because of geographic. And so we go back and forth with kind of what our United States government is doing too, right? So it's like, which is better, the states or the federal government or the cities or the region or the, right? It's the same. To me, I think it's kind of like a question, like, where does the, you know, what's the best model?
Which is
doing the same thing here, saying in some instances it works best in some, and in others it works better. We need both.
And the mechanism by which we determine that is a great segue into the next concept that we're going to talk about, which is group conscience being the spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. And things like that are going to be determined by how that happens. For me, the sixth concept is really just an extension of the second tradition. But we can understand in the first place, well, what's a group conscience? What's a group conscience?
We all get to hear.
Loving.
I heard we all get to vote.
That's a consensus.
It could be a consensus. But strictly speaking, what is a group conscience?
Most people agree.
Decision.
Rejection. Yeah, yes. That's what I was thinking.
I like that. But real simply, it is what it says it is. It's the conscience of the group. So everyone who's a part of the group has a conscience, right? It's okay for us to make that known. We all talk about consensus-based decision making, which is awesome, and we can do it. But most of the time, from a practical standpoint, group conscience becomes equals vote, but it's not. Sometimes when all else fails, when we've talked everything out, sometimes decisions have to be made by this time, and we resort to a vote. But depending on what level you're working at, and especially at group levels, I don't know that there are many decisions at group level that have to be made right on the spot. Service board's a little bit different story. Some things can be worked out until we come to a consensus. You know, it's amazing how many times tabling an issue or whatever for a week and come back and revisit it when everybody's had a chance to, like, the ego's out of the way, we decide something that makes perfect sense. But group conscience is exactly that. It's our ability to take account, take inventory of how we really feel about something. We've had a chance to contact our higher power and get to a space where, you know what, get me out of the equation, what's best for the group or whatever it happens to be. That tends to be when the best decisions tend to get made. And it avoids doing things, and I'm sure many of you, and we've just had incidents of it, I'm hearing it right now. How many times have we seen that backfire where we didn't take the time to really do a group conscience and flew off the handle and did something? And how many times is like, immediately regret the decision or how it worked out? Sometimes it takes a little courage to be able to do that, especially sometimes when you're that dissenting voice.
Justice Addy, I learned early in my recovery that it's okay when you're having a group discussion, vote on something, to remind the group, to remind myself, that it's principles before personalities, what best suits the groups, not my needs or my ridiculous expectations. For instance, I was part of this meeting. The kid's no longer with us. He overdosed and died. But this kid kept showing up because of the coffee and the cake. And this, one of the trusted servants was pissed off because we keep wasting $7 a week on a little cake when that same one guy is the only one that comes and eats it, this, that, and the others. The consensus of the group was, you know what? I don't care if it's the woman's perfume, the guy's hot, the message, or the cake. If he's coming here, eventually he's either going to die or he's going to hear the message. So she got voted out on her, you know, like, we're leaving the cake. You know, and that one instance has stuck with me all these years because I thought, who the F are you to be pissed off about $7 that could save this kid's life? You know? And group conscience was what's best for the group and what's best for that possible individual to keep the cake. And that's a ridiculous example, but it stuck with me for years.
Well, there's examples that aren't ridiculous. In group having multiple meetings. You know, they're in an area where AA is very popular. They chose because the AA message kept creeping into the meetings that they would vote to add the clarity statement to the preamble for all the meetings in this one place. And what they got was a rebellion, you know, and it degenerated into every meeting has to have a vote. They have to take votes in meetings. And it just spiraled out of control because nobody would set their ego and their principles aside, you know, sometimes your conscience should dictate that you step aside and don't have an opinion. You know, if I'm running a meeting and I ask for everybody's opinion, I'm going to get 12 different opinions, and I'm not the decision maker. So what good is that going to do, right?
And in an issue like that, we already have a 6th and 10th tradition that talks about that already. You know, this is Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah, the solution was to go back to the literature.
Exactly.
Ask questions. Pray. Do research. Answer the questions from what people had done before. Oh, there's one that nobody answered before. Now that we've done that, what's the answer to that? And then everybody's got their opinion. When we took a vote, nobody wanted it in there anymore. And it was like, it just went away.
Yeah, that's why I started in the beginning. I keep my weapons all the time because there's things, it's already been, our fellowship, we've been through all this. We've experienced these things. We took the time to write them down so that they would be in a place where we can refer to them. You know, how many times have we seen true spiritual principles are never in conflict with each other, right? Uh-huh. So we should be able to go to those things and have them work, regardless of the situation.
You hit the point, this has been my experience, that when we're talking about group conscience, that usually it works out in a sense of unanimity. That's measured by the vote being 100%, not the opinions of others or different people with other opinions or other agendas they want to bring in. Sometimes that's just a matter of time. That's when you have to set aside and work on more than what you do.
I just had a clarifying statement. Is this being recorded? I just wanted to, good. Because I actually wish that this meeting would be one that was in the large room downstairs where more people
get group conscious.
Just as important as, you know, the medications issue. some of the other things that we talked about, and I really appreciate the way that we're presenting this today and the discussion that's happening, and I hope we have more of this.
To me, when we're talking about service, that's the only way to do it, because service is about what we're doing as a fellowship to promote our primary purpose. So that means all the egos and the stuff and all that go to the side. It's about getting the information out as best we can. I think it's just, it's important. Absolutely. Our seventh concept, all members of a service body bear substantial responsibility for the body's decisions and should be allowed to fully participate in this decision-making process. And we talked about that, and it's critical. Because what's the point of being it? It doesn't really make sense to be part of a service board if I never participate. Am I truly being a service if I never have anything to say?
One of the challenges we have in the region is that when issues come up that may affect one subcommittee or another service structure, only the people that are seated to vote make the decision. While an issue may come up about H&I, the H&I chair can't vote on anything, and the people with the experience in that side of service don't have a vote. Can't, you know, the best they can do is speak their mind and try to influence or manipulate the voters. And I'll tell it like it is, you know, and the people who have the vote aren't always educated in being able to make the decision that would best serve that part of the service structure.
Now,
so it's challenging to be part of the service body, to have an opinion, mm-hmm. you know, and not be able to influence the outcome of the direction of whatever topic it is.
But even if I don't, like you say, I don't. Now, the concept says all members of the service body, mm-hmm. right? Now, even if I'm not a member of the service body, I'm still a member of Narcotics Anonymous and I have a voice. I may not have a voting voice there, but I have a voice, and there are ways to make that voice known. But it's important, though, that the participants in a service body all bring what they have to the table, because we all offer something. We all have spirits, right? So we're all aligning ourselves along spiritual lines, then we have something to contribute. And that this concept says we have a responsibility to do so. Yes?
Turning to that concept, at the regional level, service maybe. Occasionally, I will, somebody else will ask a clarification on what was the motion, because before you know it, I don't care what the clean time is, shit's flying off the wall, we're getting sidetracked, all of a sudden it's like now I'm confused. So sometimes I will say, what was the original motion that was supposed to be pro and con? And there's only two pros, two cons, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
You know, so I've learned a lot. You know, I'm still like one of the newest guys in the region when I'm there. I've worked on my temper quite a bit, so sometimes the best things I can say are either ask a question or nothing at all, because I don't want to throw a log on the fire. And sometimes I don't know, and I'm asking, and sometimes I'm just trying to shut up the group by asking for clarification, you know. That's sometimes the best thing I can do. I don't know. There's some people at the regional meeting that can, like, quote guidelines. And I'm just like, who are you, man? And that's awesome. You know what I'm saying? So, like, unless I really got something to say, I just stay quiet and I learn. And that's some of the best thing I can do for that concept, is to not say anything at all. Sometimes.
Which is a great segue into the eighth concept. Yes.
So, I've just found that usually the guys who can quote guidelines usually had a hand in writing them.
I know in my
area, we constantly go back and forth between SAR weighing in on decisions and the whole service bunch. So we came to this, like, compromise. Like, if you make a decision without sending it back to the groups, everybody gets to participate in that process. If we decide that this needs to go back to the groups for a decision, then only the GSR is weighing in. Because we've already made the decision going back to the groups, so why are other people weighing in on it if we're sending back to the groups? So we look at how the world service structure is. If it's old business, everybody gets, if it's new business, everybody gets to participate. It's old business.
Then you go to open forum.
And then only the people that we sent back to the
groups. Well,
just, you know, you said everybody has a voice, right? And you know, I've been in the body, and I've been at the head of the body, and I've been at the side of the body, recording the body. You know, I've been dragged in when the body was dying to do triage. You know, my opinion, I don't know that my opinion matters. I really want to be honest about that, because when I have an opinion, it's my ego trying to impose a perspective on the situation. You know, if I want to pipe in, if I want to get my voice in, I have to ask myself, am I serving the body, or am I just serving what I think is right? You know, and is that my decision? You know, especially the higher up I am in the body, it's the chair's job to make sure that there's two pro and two con, not the body's job, right? It's the chair's job to make sure that people have a voice and not the body's, because then pretty soon, how many chairs are you going to have? How many opinions on how it should be right? Just, you know, that's why I think consensus is so beautiful. Absolutely. Because if you don't get consensus, you haven't made a decision.
Absolutely.
And unless it's critical for the operation of the business operation of the body, it's like being in early recovery. If you don't know what's right and what's wrong, just don't do anything. It may not be the right thing, and you'll learn that, but don't do anything. Let it be what it is, unless it has to happen. You know?
Yes.
In our region, we had a pretty good chair with like two pros and three cons. He was stressed that abstaining is also a good, valid vote.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you don't know what's going on, don't go pro or con. Abstain and stay out of it. And sometimes the abstaining would override. We'd have to put it off because we didn't have enough to get a right vote.
Absolutely.
We have too many abstentions, so we'll just table it or just let it die in the vote.
And so the thing that drives that, and what of all the things, comments we just heard, the thing that's tantamount to make sure that everybody is on the same page is the idea of communication. Where we're going in the eighth concept, our service structure depends on the integrity and effectiveness of our communications. And in that case, it would start right at the bottom, because who are the basically, at least to the groups, the communication component of most groups is dependent upon its GSR. There's a group service representative, right? How many times do I go to business meetings or I'm listening to a GSR report and all I get is, here's the activities in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what? Those are already on flyers. Yeah. Don't need to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'd like to know from our GSRs is what's going on. What business is being conducted in the fellowship? What things are we using to further our fifth tradition? What things are we talking about doing? That's what I want to know.
Got it. That's exactly what Justice and I were talking about at the beginning of this, about how you... In a group meeting, yet here's what's going on in our area, here's what's going on in the surrounding areas, and that's it for the GSR world, you know. And we also have to weigh the number of people who really are interested in knowing what's going on and not putting the rest of the meeting to sleep. You know, it's a very difficult situation. Everyone doesn't care what's going on in the region or in that world. They don't care.
Yes.
And the rest of
Dennis?
I think Dennis.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for all the people that aren't from San Diego, Imperial County region here. However, this is the problem in our region, is that this event was barely talked about until we got towards the time of the event. And if you notice how many people are here that are from this region, and even conflicting with tonight, there's a Halloween dance by one of our areas. When they were asked to please don't do that, because it conflicts with this. More people who are uninformed would rather go to a Halloween dance than be here to gather this information. And so there's a lack of interest, but again, GSR is not bringing the information back or not asking people to share this.
Or the service boards could take one more step. We have a regional calendar, for Pete's sake.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That information is there. All you got to do is go, bing, a couple, this is what's going on.
So, I think a lot of those is about presentation. So, you know, the one time that we, in the meetings I'm in, that we get a report, report that's different than just activities is after our area service meeting. Then we'll hear other stuff, but what we hear is like detailed, you know, they're vote, we need to vote on this. It's $2,716 that the activities committee wants to vote on for, you know, prizes for the upcoming New Year's Eve. You know, I mean, detailed stuff like that, which is also in a report that's in the binder. So what I have noticed is that if there was, again, mentorship, training, things like that, when the GSR comes back and says, and this happened also, let me say, at our regional meeting, where I, bless her heart, I love this woman already, I don't know her, she said, excuse me, to our RD, so I hope they don't get here from our area. Anyway, she actually said, excuse me, our RD was giving a report, and said, I don't want to hear what the report says. I can read a report online. I want your opinion. I need to hear what you, not just your opinion, but what did you get? What was the crux of, you know, what did you see? You are our trusted servant. We vote you in because we have faith in you. And what we want to know what you got from this, which is why I'm taking notes. It's not just about, so anybody can listen to this. But what did I get? What am I going to bring back to put in my report? Not word for word what you're saying. But I mean, I marked out lots of discussion about this particular topic here. It was very heated. Lots of people had stuff to weigh in on. It was, you know, the excitement in the room. That's the kind of stuff. If we go back to our meetings and the GSR goes back or to the area or the region and says these things, that's what the people, the newcomers and the other people are going to hear. Wow. That's the report.
One more comment, real quick.
That's all right. Good. And
it's our responsibility.
I was listening to Amy, but also I think one of the issues is that group time and meeting time is so conflict where people spend so much of group time segueing into meeting time where the reports are loosely given. Information is there's this, nobody cares about what's really going on. They care about where it's at. Right? And by the time the meeting's over with, and now we're getting ready to go into report, everybody leaves. Nobody stays. Right? So nobody gets the information. And I think that part of that's because people are misinformed, not given the information at the appropriate time.
Which is why that this concept is that much more important. Because the effectiveness and integrity of our communications is paramount if we're going to get that information out to people. All we can do is deliver it. You know, I can lead a horse to water, I can't make you drink it. But at least I can provide the water there for you if you want to. Yes.
Chapter 2, core principles of the PR handbook. I think the two most important are unity and communication.
Absolutely.
And I did a brief report with predecessor Bob at the last year up in Sacramento at the core principles. 2 years ago, and communication, so many, I'm not even going to say addicts, people want to hear, so they, when you stop, they can reply. Listening and having responsible communication. And as PR and PI, I've been all about hearing, I mean, listening to what the public, what the board is saying, so that I can relay that to the community. Because I've got some great ideas, I think, until I present them, and then they're pro and con and shot down or accessible, you know, for what I want to do. And then, so the communication, look, when I was GSR at a meeting, I gave one of the most thorough reports. I didn't break it up into 4 weeks. I gave the whole damn thing. I said, there's events, they're on the table, but this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you what H&I is. Let me tell you what they do, and they have this thing called a doctor panel, where your whole sponsorship panel can get you some, and you can rotate it out.
Let me tell you about this activity that's based in service, so you can learn what the hell I'm even talking about. I don't live in the SFB anymore, but occasionally when they're saying, are there any more any related announcements, I put my hand up, because I can still wing, unfortunately, a better GSR report than half the GSR that live in that area. And it's unacceptable. And I voice that, and people give me dirty looks, but you know what, I don't care. I was taught to be thorough and with my communication in this program.
I'm going
to
take one more comment, and then we're going to move on.
But you know, I mean, with over 80 meetings every week in our own area, not region, but in our area, only half of those end up being represented at the ASC with GSRs.
Yep.
Regardless of whether there may be other ones that have GSRs, I know for a fact that don't go to the meeting. They show up once to an area service committee meeting, and then it's like, well, where are you getting your information from? You know? And it can be very frustrating, because the information then that is being given to the fellowship at meetings is sometimes skewed, sometimes old, sometimes not up to date, or sometimes just doesn't matter. You know?
Absolutely.
Our meetings is incredible. That's awesome.
Our tenth concept is an interesting one. Any member of a service body can petition that body for the redress of a personal grievance without fear of reprisal. That's our tyranny of the majority, protection concept. How it works from a practical standpoint, and I'm sure. You folks have done service at any length of time, you've probably seen this in action before. Seen somebody just get absolutely crucified for no reason at some level, and then, well, the damage is done because the vote came, and then now that person's out in the cold.
Yeah, so that topic I mentioned earlier, that one of the people that came to petition to have the clarity statement removed from the preamble was a long-standing member of both fellowships. And he has a few mental disorders that are being treated, and he's a really great guy, and he brought it, and they basically shut him down, told him that the group voted on it, that's the way it's going to be, you can't bring your AA into this room, and pushed on him until he cracked, until he was fighting in the parking lot, until he was banned from the fellowship. And it was completely out of hand, and it was just one of many of these fall-on effects of not following our traditions and our concepts.
I'm interested to find out if anybody has the experience of where this concept worked for them.
So, just so I can understand what you're saying, so what this concept is all about is just allowing people to voice their opinion, what they think is right, without us demonizing them.
I'm gonna take it a step farther. Let's say it's a service board. There's a position that's up it's open for election, whatever. Now, folks are qualifying themselves. After they qualify themselves, they leave the room. Now there's a discussion that's going on about the people that left. Somebody stands up and absolutely just morally crucifies one of the candidates, right? So that person doesn't get voted in. Later on, we find out that everything that that person said about that individual wasn't true. So that person who didn't get that position has the right then to go back to the board and say, hey, this wasn't true about these things they said about me, blah, blah, blah. Let's open this up again. Now the service board can go, nah, we like this. But you have the ability to go back and say you have a forum. So if you feel that you are aggrieved, then you have a way to resolve that issue.
A lot of times this concept is confused and people hide behind this concept when they want to keep bringing up an idea that's already been shot down. And the next month or business meeting comes up, they just won't let go. They can't accept group conscience, and they think that this 10th concept gives them the right to keep bringing up an issue that fellowship has obviously said won't work for us.
How do we handle that?
Where do we draw the line?
We've had somebody bring it up for like 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years.
Now, you can document a dissenting opinion. Nothing wrong with that.
We can't do a 14-point anymore.
I'm from Phoenix. And our activities committee, I'm the chairperson. And one of the ways that I help with that
right there is if we have an issue that everybody wants to vote on, and there's somebody in the room that doesn't agree with what's happening, we discuss, and of course that happens every time, but there's sometimes where it stands out a little more than others, and so the way I handle this situation is I'll table it, and there will be no vote until people can research and come up with ideas and thoughts on how to help that person concede or make that person agree, you know, with us, or we can agree with them. And so I give it time and do a little research on how to make it happen. And that's how
that's not what the concept is talking about. The concept is talking about something that has been like a decision and so on, and we don't disagree with that decision, or something has happened towards somebody, calling somebody name. That's what the redress, not tabling something for another.
It's actually, yeah, if you've been aggrieved, somebody said something about you that, accused you of something that wasn't, said that, so-and-so misappropriated funds, and they didn't. You know, maybe something that impacted your ability to do a job. You have the ability to petition that service board over that particular grievance.
Yeah, actually, I've seen a situation where that worked.
That's what I was going to ask if anybody had actually seen that happen.
It's a personality conflict in a meeting. Somebody with time says, I can't go to this board meeting anymore, or this subcommittee meeting anymore, because I can't get along with the chair, right? And instead of bringing that to the table at the meeting and having that conflict exacerbated, you know, a couple of people with time brokered a truce. And those people wound up working closely together on events and sharing information during the meeting. You know, it's you know, I have a grievance. It's a personal grievance with someone else, and yet it, you know, we just make sure that the concepts are held without disrupting the meeting.
So, we're talking about reprisal, right?
Without fear of reprisal.
Without fear of reprisal.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like the Clary statement in our meeting, and for some reason, man. I think I got a reputation in my group because I really stress Narcotics Anonymous and what we suggest, the language. And, you know, we don't endorse outside interests. I have that kind of thing. But I also add to it after I make my little speech, right? I said, look, man, we're going to cold trail you out to the parking lot. You can just hang out here and you can use your language. You know, we suggest that you don't. We suggest that you use the language of NA, but ain't nobody gonna wait for you outside. We'll just wait for you to change within yourself. And at the same time, if you don't change, you're still welcome in NA. Because they got guys in NA who got over 20 years clean and still don't use the right language. You know, but they stay clean and so I always, what do you call that? When you put a disclaimer on it. And you know what? We suggest that you use the language of NA, clean and recovery, but if you don't, don't think that we're going to wait for you outside.
Yeah, we had voted in a vice chair, and after we voted in a vice chair, somebody came back in, and he was no longer really a member of our area. So said, how could you vote that guy in? He's never, you know, been at GSR, never come to meetings, and I had to stop there. He's been doing, but at the next area, I said, you know, that you want to readdress for you the 10 concepts.
And it's one that we, at least here, although the way it goes with, especially with service members for the area service boards, you usually do the nominations a month in advance of when they're actually doing the voting. So there's a lot of damage that can be done in that much time. So you got to be careful with those things. So at least now you have a way that you can like combat that. You have a forum that you can actually go into the service board and address it.
I actually had, I think I was around 3 years clean when my sponsor instructed me to write up the 10 conduct and speak it to this committee that I felt had wronged me. I had about 3 years clean, and I was still homeless 6 years clean, and I was our area's for your DACI. So I was doing things like doing presentations to professionals about Narcotics Anonymous for cool training, that kind of thing. But I was also pushing a shopping cart for GM's get emo changed to call my sponsor. And I was also dumpster diving outside of Pam Hanley. And there were some members of the EI committee who basically decided in between committee meetings, because one of the members of our PI committee happened to bypass me while I was dumpster diving and made the decision that I was not fit to carry the message to professionals because he believed that it said something bad about our fellowship for somebody to have time clean and still have severe economic challenges. And
are you still homeless?
So I spent 4 months homeless this year, but I do have a place to live right now. I have a master's degree in 13 years clean, and I spent 4 months homeless this year because the median rent in the county I live in is over $2,900 a month. Cool. So anyway, but what happened was between committee meetings, I ended up getting not a phone call directly being said, I didn't have a phone, but a phone call through somebody else. Essentially saying that I was being asked to step down as the presentations coordinator because of my quote-unquote lifestyle choices. And, what happened is my sponsor instructed me to write up, she gave me some questions, which I believe may have come from the concepts book, looking back. And she gave me these questions to write about how I felt that I belonged. And I remember going to this committee and, and asking for the ability to go back and continue presenting the message of Narcotics Anonymous to professionals in our community. And if anything, I was still a message of hope because I was staying clean despite my situation.
That is a perfect example of how the 10th concept works.
Yeah. Yeah. And what they ended up asking me to do was they asked me to, because there was concern that a professional that I had presented to would see me on the streets and think that NA wasn't really working. And, our message isn't that we all get financially okay. Our message is that we stay clean no matter what. But what I got to do was go back to that committee, and they allowed me to continue serving the fellowship because there's no requirement that we be housed to serve the bodies.
I think page 98 in the basic text talks about that.
So here's my question. Is that my understanding of the 12 concepts is that they were applicable to service work in Narcotics Anonymous.
And we can also take them out in the light, too.
Okay, so now what I'm asking is this, is that I've heard some people mention some home group situations where I've also had that experience where I had a gentleman, similar to what Tomas was saying, I would like to think that Tomas was a lot more diplomatic with how he handled it, but this guy was a newcomer that said sober. This dude, literally, the chairperson stopped the meeting. He said, excuse me, in this room, we use the word blank, blank, and blank. Okay, continue. I thought that was outrageous. That made me absolutely disgusted because when I came in as a newcomer, I couldn't look anybody in the eyes, let alone handle somebody calling me out in front of a group of people in an aggressive way. Not a loving, like, excuse me, here in Narcotics Anonymous. But excuse me, made me sick.
That
could
be something to take care of after me, for example.
Exactly. So if you're doing it out of a place of love, why not pull me aside when you know it's not going to hurt me? So here's my question. Is obviously, if I'm doing a 10th concept, if I'm practicing the 10th concept, I'm not going to walk into that home group like, all right, well, since you guys are all here, let's listen up. I want to talk about it. No. So is it brought to the business meeting? Like, listen,
that
I was in a meeting, and this
absolutely.
Guy said this. I didn't like it.
Absolutely. That would be the place to take it. To the business meeting right now.
Yeah.
The 11th concept.
I want to take him outside.
The 11th concept is. The 11th concept is NA funds are to be used to further our primary purpose and must be managed responsibly. There are more cases of that not being followed than Carter's got little liver pills, so we won't even go there with it. What I want to talk about is, where it does say funds, it just doesn't say money. So that's management of more than just capital things, right? It's management of resources. Period. Yeah, absolutely. Got to be managed responsibly. I said, it's got to be managed responsibly. It's more than just, it's not just money. NA funds, it's all of our resources must be managed, used to further our primary purpose. and must be managed responsibly. It makes sense. I can tell you, there's a situation with my home group that for a while, it was, well, coffee supplies, we need these things, blah, 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 blah. You know, we're just starting the meetings, just getting off the ground. The last time I looked, literature was more important to have in a meeting space before refreshments, right? I mean, we can get by without those things, or as the group can become more self-sufficient, then we add those other things, right? But if for a meeting that's just getting off the ground, the most important things to have are a place to meet where we can pay the rent and literature to carry the message with. Well, we got into a whole lot of hullabaloo about this, that, and the other thing about, and there were other group members who felt strongly about, like, well, we should have coffee, blah, blah, and they voted all this stuff. I was like, okay, well, fine, you voted it. Now, how are you gonna support it? Things like that happen. Sometimes it's necessary to take a step back and look at what we're really trying to do here first, managing money responsibly.
The same story I read to about half an hour ago, I'm going to relate to here, and that was that I wasn't the only person that said, you know what, I'll pay the damn $7 for that cake that I want to get to show up every week.
Sure.
If the meeting can't afford it, which it can, let's bypass our egos here, and I'll just bring the cake out of pocket as a donation every week, so this addict who skates across the park in the rain can come drink our hot coffee and hopefully hear a little bit of a message, we'll continue to show up.
Yeah.
It's about the way it works. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is, again, a more extension of the seventh tradition. Just more the same.
It's the same item of responsibility when I have, so the area I was with before years ago, long, you know, I wasn't even probably getting high yet, let alone clean, and they had a storage unit fire, or a garage fire. One of the members, I think it was BI, okay, had all the literature was burned up in their garage during the fire. I didn't know nothing about this. I didn't think about it. The group said, hey, we don't want you to have all the literature. Leave it with our literature people. You know, I would have enough for if we had a last minute call for a booth sitting, I would have enough supplies. But that was my responsibility, was to turn it into the literature committee. So if two means it's protected and if it does get damaged, it ain't on my ass. You know? The other thing is the stuff I do have, I don't just leave it outside to get fill in the blank. It's in a safe location to not get damaged. It's because presentation is a lot when you're doing a booth sitting. Dress accordingly, talk accordingly, and have presentable literature.
There are so many ways, you know, catastrophes could have been averted with things like that. You know, especially your large amounts of literature or capital, whatever it happens to be. If you need to, get a safe deposit box for some things. If you need to, go rent a space and insure it. If you need to, there's other avenues that we can use to take care of those kinds of things. Again, it's fiscal responsibility. What would you do for yourself? You know what I mean? It starts there. It's like the same kind of the responsibility you take with your finances personally. You can do that for the fellowship as well. We can look at things the same way. It ain't practical, it ain't spiritual.
And a lot of the lack of education I see that has a financial impact, like on our region and on our area, is, you know what, in San Diego, we don't charge for schedules, for directories. I've been in other regions and other areas where I picked up a schedule and they said, hey, that's 60 cents. You know, I didn't know, so I went ahead and paid. And so we have an average of about 30% representation of groups at our ASC, of meetings at our ASC. So they're paying for all the schedules for all the other groups that aren't donating, whether they can or can't, to the service structure that provides those schedules. And in our area also, you know, I think people believe that stuff is free. Our services aren't free, you know. So when we have a lot of carne asada meeting at the end of the month that, you know, donate to the rest of the service structure, they'll pass the seventh tradition to do Disneyland trips or whatever, you know, and it's just, I think it's a lack of information, a lack of educating, but hey, you know what, if you want carne asada cookout at the end of the month, pass a different basket, don't claim the seventh tradition, to feed yourself, you know.
We got about 2 minutes, so I'm going to close with the 12th concept. Yeah. Go ahead.
1 minute.
Sure.
I still have a problem with this tradition. I don't, I know how other people believe, but I don't believe
paid for cake. I don't believe in paying for coffee because the money needs to go to World or whatever for other obligations. I don't, we down in Las Vegas, we pay for the schedules. Groups don't, we pay for the ID. The groups don't, we give them out for free and so on. That's it.
And in keeping with the spiritual nature of Narcotics Anonymous, our structure should always be one of service, never government. Of course, and that's what we do. Oh my gosh. That's all we need to be in the government business. A bunch of very self-willed folks trying to govern things.
In the completion of this 12 concept, I'd like to thank you for being of service today.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. Thank you. Sorry, thank you all. And I thank you all for participating today. And it's like that's how this should be. It's an interchange of ideas. For me, that's what a workshop ought to be. Thank you for allowing me to be a servant.
Thank you.